Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
As we launch this new ministry year, we're starting this morning in a new sermon series, and the new sermon series is called Parables. Parables, the stories of Jesus, the stories Jesus told in the Gospel of Luke. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been excited to hear from Jesus Christ through the parables. Now, we're not going to tackle every single parable that Jesus told, but we're going to tackle most of them, and specifically those found in the Gospel of Luke. You'll find Jesus' parables throughout Matthew and Mark and Luke. You won't find any in John, interestingly enough, but in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we're going to be spending our time in the Gospel of Luke. So right away, I just want to lay out the aim and the heart for our series. I want you to understand where we're going and where we're headed. Here's the aim of this particular series over the next several weeks. That we would hear, that's an important word, that we would hear the parables of Jesus in a way that causes our hearts to see clearly the truth about what it means to follow Jesus in the midst of a world that doesn't. We live in the midst of a world that doesn't follow Jesus, and we want to hear the words of Jesus in the parables that he taught in such a way as to cause our hearts to understand the truth of what it means to follow him in this world. It's not a time to play church. It's not what this day is for. It's a time to hear clearly the call and the summons of Jesus Christ on our lives. Now, a common phrase you'll hear Jesus say sometimes in his parables or at the end of his parables, every single time as he addresses the seven churches in Revelation, for example, is this: he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not that some people have physical ears and others don't have physical ears. That's not what Jesus meant. Hearing in Jesus' mind goes beyond recognizing an audible voice. Hearing in Jesus' mind involves listening, understanding, submitting, obeying, hearing. And here is the truth of the matter. Very few attending Jesus' sermons 2,000 years ago had spiritual ears to hear what he was saying. And here's where the rubber meets the road for us this morning in this series. Not everyone today who hears the word of God has spiritual ears to actually listen. Not everyone who hears the word of God is actually listening. So the question for us today is, are we listening? Are we listening? And before we jump into our very first parable, we need to ask and answer two questions. Question number one on the screen for you is this: what is a parable? It's a good place to start. Do you know what a parable is? What is a parable? I found a number of amazing definitions. I'm going to give you a simple one here. Very simply, a parable is an earthly story illustrating a spiritual reality. A parable is an earthly story illustrating a spiritual reality. The word parable is made up of two Greek words in the Bible, the word beside and the word throw. The idea is that in a parable, Jesus is throwing two things beside each other. He's making an analogy between something that is known and earthly and something that is hidden, unknown, and spiritual. A parable is an earthly story illustrating a spiritual reality. That's the first question we need to ask and answer. Secondly, we need to ask this: why parables? It's just where we got to start today. Why parables? Why did Jesus choose to teach in parables? Well, here's the answer on the screen: both to reveal truth and to conceal truth, both to reveal truth and to conceal truth. Getting a head start in our text today, look on the screen. Luke chapter 8, 8 to 10 says this. We're going to get to it in a moment. But it says, as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Listen to this. And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This was to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah's chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Jesus would often teach in parables so that his divine truth would be revealed, listen to this, to those who would humbly receive it. To those who would humbly receive the words of Jesus Christ, to those who would humbly desire the words of Jesus Christ, the words of the parable would clarify his truth. But Jesus also spoke in parables so that his divine truth would be even more obscured to those who had already hardened their hearts against him. And so those who were his disciples, the parables would come and they would bring divine truth in a clear way. Those who had already chosen to harden themselves against him, the words of Jesus would become even more obscure than ever before. On the screen, D.A. Carson wrote this. He wrote, "Secrets means the plans of God concerning his kingdom, which had long been hidden but were now being made known." He's making the things known that were hidden. But watch this. Other people refused to accept God's message, and so it was now being presented in a veiled form so that if they did not make the effort to understand and accept it, they would be none the wiser. So for all who would humbly listen, or all who would open their hearts, Jesus would speak to those with a pure heart and a childlike faith in parables to reveal his truth, but for all who would hear the word of God with contempt, for all who would hear the word of God with a heart of pride, for all who would hear the word of God resisting the word of God, the parables of Jesus would actually conceal the truth from them. And so, how we respond to the words of Jesus matters a lot. And how we hear the truths of Jesus matter a lot. Now, speaking about the parable we're about to jump into, William MacDonald wrote this. He wrote on the screen, "It forms the basis for a very solemn warning as to how we hear the word of God." Listen, it's no light thing to hear the scriptures preached and taught. Those who hear are made more responsible than they ever were before. If they shrug off the message or consider obedience an optional matter, they do so to their own loss. But if they hear and obey, they put themselves in a position to receive more light from God. Parables, earthly stories illustrating spiritual realities. And the parables both reveal the truth to those who would listen humbly and conceal the truth from those who would not. How we respond to the word of God matters. How we listen to the word of God matters. That's in fact what this very first parable is all about, and it will set the tone for the rest. So the title of this morning's message is this: Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Take your Bibles now and go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. Let's read the text together. Luke chapter 8, 4 to 15. This is what it says, starting from verse 4. "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable," here's the parable, "a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Now, the parable is this. I love Jesus. He's explaining it now. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. What I love about the parables of Jesus and this parable in particular is that it's so simple and yet it is so profound. This parable is all about hearing the word of God. And so this is where we're going to start. Four kinds of hearing the word of God. There are four ways we can hear the word of God. Number one, write this down if you have a pen and paper. Now, number one, hearing that doesn't even get started. That's the first kind of hearing. Hearing that doesn't even get started. Verses 4 to 5 and 12. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it." The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes to take away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Okay, really important for us to identify the main elements of the parable on the screen. There's a sower, there's seed, and there are various soils. The sower represents the preacher or the messenger of the word of God. By the way, in the parable, now this is the least important in the parable, the one who scatters the seed, okay? The sower represents the preacher or the messenger or the word of God, of the word of God. The seed, Jesus says, is the word of God itself, and the soils are various responses to the word of God. So here Jesus Christ stands, the master teacher, illustrating and revealing for his listeners, this is what he's revealing to them, what is actually taking place in their hearts as he is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. In fact, really important to note that this is our immediate context of the parable. Notice it in Luke 8, 1 on the screen. Soon after, he, Jesus, went through cities and villages and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. This is the immediate context. So Jesus has been preaching and teaching the good news, which is the gospel. Notice now verse 4. It says, "And when a great crowd was gathering, the people from town after town came to him, and he said in a parable." Now, I want you to notice that Luke takes great care to mention that there was a great crowd of people that were gathering around Jesus. People from town after town were coming. These were large crowds in the thousands. What's Jesus going to say to all these people? What is Jesus going to communicate to all these great crowds that are coming from different towns, town after town? Well, Jesus chooses to highlight the reality that among the sea of faces that he is speaking to, there will be a vast variety of responses to his teaching, and most of the responses will not be good. Response number one, he says, some will hear the good news of the kingdom of God and the seed of the word of God will be gone before they even leave the gathering. Be careful how you hear. Look at it in verse 5 and 12. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, it fell along the path and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Jesus explains. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Listen, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Notice, loved ones, that while the seed of the word of God is being scattered, notice that there is an enemy, there is a devil who is actively pursuing it. Now, I'm aware, loved ones, as you should be, that wherever and whenever preaching is happening, wherever and whenever preaching of the word of God is happening, there are satanic forces at work to influence how you hear. Wherever there is preaching happening, where the word of God is being proclaimed, there are satanic forces at work, working to influence how you hear. And whether it's through distraction or doubt or deception or disengagement, there is a kind of hearing that doesn't even get started, because as the seed of the word of God is thrown out, there is an enemy that snatches it before some of us can even rightly embrace it. Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you view the word of God, because the seed, so often, the proclamation of the word of God so often, maybe in a room like this, is gone before some of us even leave the building. That's the reality. There are four kinds of hearing the word of God. Number one, hearing that doesn't even get started. Be careful how you hear. Secondly, this hearing that lasts until a time of testing. Hearing that lasts until the time of testing. Notice verse 6 and 13. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Jesus explains, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, watch this, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. Now, loved ones, in all my years as a Christian, I've been a Christian for many years, and in all my years as a pastor, I have seen this a lot. Maybe you have seen this, maybe it has been even your experience, that I have witnessed even in this church, people running to me after the service. When I tell you running, I mean running to me with tears in their eyes, with smiles on their faces, with joy in their hearts. Thank you for that word. Thank you for that message. I've seen people go all the way into the baptism tank with tears and making a profession of faith. Not half-heartedly, but passionately, not with skepticism, but with joy. They believe, but only for a while. Only for a while. Until mom and dad say, this new faith of yours, it's not what we raised you to believe. And mom and dad's disapproval is devastating. Then they fall away. Until lifelong friends say, we like the old you better. And they begin to pull away. And that's heartbreaking for you. And you fall away. Until you read and learn more and you discover that the Christian life is going to take tremendous courage to stand by much of what the Bible says, and you fall away. Now, almost all commentators agree that when Jesus says they believed for a while, he's not referring to saving faith. He's referring to an intellectual faith, as the text says, a superficial belief that withers because it had no root. It's not genuine saving faith. How many people have come to me, again, with tears in their eyes, even stepping foot in the waters of baptism, and then when the time of testing comes, they are gone. I don't mean just like gone for a while. I mean not returning phone calls. I mean not responding to emails. I mean nowhere to be found, gone. Be careful how you hear. Jesus knew that there were people in the crowd who would follow him for a while, but in a time of testing, they would jump ship. Loved ones, as a church planter, I wasn't as prepared for this as I should have been. I wasn't as prepared for this sad and heartbreaking reality as I should have been, but Jesus knew. And as I grow as a pastor and learn, I have it as the exhortation in my heart to the listeners, be careful how you hear. I'm not naive to the fact that there are people in the room that are sleeping. I know that that's happening. I'm not offended. I understand that now. I'm not naive to the fact that there are people and they are out to lunch. I'm not naive to the fact of the reality that some will come, and as they come with tears and a profession of faith, you know what I do now? I say, oh, Lord, keep them. Oh, Lord, keep them. Let it be a genuine faith. Preserve them in the time of testing. Before I get too excited as I used to, I get sober-minded and I pray, Lord, I pray they have heard rightly. I pray you're hearing rightly right now. There's a kind of hearing that lasts for a while until the time of testing. Be careful how you hear, loved ones. Four kinds of hearing: the word of God, hearing that doesn't even get started, hearing that lasts until the time of testing. Thirdly, this, write this down, hearing that grows until worldly things choke it. Hearing that grows until worldly things choke it. Notice verse 7 and 14. It says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Jesus explains. And as for what fell among thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Very interesting to note. What chokes the seed of the word of God here? Cares or worries, riches, and pleasures. Why? Because these things are the essence of what competes for true worship in our hearts at the deepest level. Cares or worries, riches, and pleasures. Worry because it's the inevitable result of some idolatry or false worship. We worry because something of supreme value in our lives is being threatened in some way. That's why we worry. That's why we're given to anxiety, because something we highly prize and value is being threatened, and so we are given to worry. Riches, because Jesus is clear, there's nothing that threatens true worship more than money and riches. You say, how do you know that, Jason? Well, Jesus said very adamantly, you cannot serve both God and money. Why did he point out money? Because he knew that riches choke the seed of the word of God and all that God wants to do if we are given to the worship of the riches. Pleasures, because pleasure is the singular pursuit of our flesh. To be comfortable, to be happy, to be entertained, to feel good. That is the pursuit of our flesh. Loved ones, there's a kind of hearing that grows, but it cannot survive. It's choked by the competing affections, the competing focus, the competing priorities, the competing thorns of this world. Be careful how you hear. Now today, could it be there are people here that are hearing the word of God while maintaining a firm grasp on the things of this world? Be careful how you hear. This is solemn. This is a warning. Could it be that there are people here sitting under the sound of the word of God who are plagued by worry about the things that we truly worship, and those worries are choking out the seed? Could it be that 6 months ago when we were told to stop meeting, that was the last time for many people to actually position themselves to sit under the word of God, because cares were choking what God had planted or attempted to plant in them? Today, are you hearing the word of God with a refusal to see that God is better than money, that God is better than pleasure? Be careful, loved ones, how you hear the word of God. Four kinds of hearing the word of God: hearing that doesn't even get started, hearing that lasts until a time of testing, hearing that grows until worldly things choke it. Finally, this: hearing that bears fruit with purity and endurance. Hearing that bears fruit with purity and endurance. Notice verse 8 and 15. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus explains, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. What does it mean to hold it fast with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience? Well, the meaning is both so simple and logical and yet so deep and profound and rare. Just like the seed that lands in the good soil germinates and grows and bears fruit over time. It doesn't bear fruit right away. It bears fruit over time. It matures over time. It endures. The farmer has to wait patiently for the harvest to come. So does the seed of God's word germinate in our hearts and grow and bear fruit over time in the hearing that holds it fast with an honest and good heart. There is a kind of hearing that keeps the word of God. That's what it means to hold it fast. It's kept in the heart. It's obeyed in the heart. It's submitted to in the heart. Over time, patiently, and with endurance. Now, it's really important to note and observe that in the parable, I don't know if you caught this, 1 in 4 respond rightly. Only 1 in 4. Now, that's not a stat that Jesus intends for us to take to the bank, like 1 in 4 in this, or, you know, the statistically speaking, 1 in 4 is going to respond rightly. But there's something to that. That as Jesus is speaking to the thousands, only 1 out of 4 responds and holds it fast in a good and pure an honest heart. It's very few, and it's the same today and in every generation. That's why I'm not naive as a preacher of the word of God. I look at the crowd, and with a broken heart, I say, "Lord, let the seed land on good soil." But it's gonna be very few. Jesus says in Matthew 7:14, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life." Watch this. "And those who find it are few." In Mark 10:25, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, such hyperbole, than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Why? Because Jesus knows that there are people in the crowd. They're saying they follow him. They're saying they want him. They're saying they want to understand what he's saying. But he knows that they love money more than him. He knows that they worship other things. He knows that the pleasures of this life are more valuable to them than he is. Be careful how you hear the word of God, lest we be hearing in such a way that doesn't hear at all. The seed is snatched before we even leave the room. Be careful how we hear the word of God, lest we hear with joy and immediate rejoicing, and yet the time of testing has come. We have failed to count the cost, and we fall away. Be careful how you hear. Be careful how you hear, lest we be in this room hearing the word of God week after week, and yet we have a firm grasp on the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world, the cares of this world. They've gripped our hearts. Be careful how you hear the word of God, loved ones. But there is a kind of hearing that bears fruit with purity and endurance. So, how should we hear? I want to leave you very quickly with seven exhortations from Charles Spurgeon. Seven ways to properly hear the word of God. Seven ways to hear with a good and honest heart and keep the word of God. Write this down. Number one, hear attentively and retentively. When you are sitting under the sound of the proclamation of the word of God, don't get caught up in, oh, this preacher is not like my favorite preacher. Oh, he's not saying it the way I want him to say. Oh, the tone of voice is like this. Oh, the tone of voice is like that, or whatever it may be for you, or distracted about lunch or distracted about other things. Pay attention and retain the seed. Pay attention. Be careful how you hear. Secondly, hear believingly and obediently. Believe and obey the seed of the word of God. Believe. Believe what is being proclaimed. Believe and obey it. Thirdly, hear candidly and honestly. Be straightforward and truthful with the seed of the word of God. When the seed comes and is scattered upon your heart, don't justify things. Don't try to dodge certain things. Don't say that doesn't really apply to me. That applies to them. No, be straightforward with God's word and be truthful with God's word. Fourthly, hear devoutly and sincerely. Be committed and genuine with the seed of the word of God. There is a solemn warning in this text from the Lord Jesus himself. Don't stroll into church just casually, just flop into your chair with your coffee or whatever, just casually, like, okay, let's see what the preacher has for me today. Solemnly come. Devoutly come. Come sincerely. Come authentically. Come with a genuine commitment that the word of God will deal with you today, and that you will be loved and you will be strengthened today by the seed of the word of God. Fifthly, hear earnestly and spiritually. Respond with intense conviction to the seed of the word of God. If you don't know what it means to respond with conviction, join me in a prayer that I often prayed. Lord, speak to me, challenge me, convict me. I don't see things that I need convicting of. Lord, help me to approach you with this earnest heart to be convicted, that the word would land with full conviction in my heart. Sixthly, hear feelingly and sensitively. Feel deeply and tenderly the impact of the seed of the Word of God. Feel deeply. When God speaks to us, it's not rote and rigid. He made us with emotions. He made us with feelings. And He made you very unique. Feel the impact of the Word and express it the way you're wired to express it, but feel it. Feel it deeply and tenderly. Another prayer that I often pray, Lord, make my heart soft. Make my heart tender. I know what it feels like to sit and listen to a preacher and feel like I'm not feeling it right now. I'm just, my mind is on other things. I want to go somewhere else. But then in those moments, it's the prayer that means so much. Lord, make my heart soft right now so that when the seed of the Word is scattered on my heart, it takes root and I keep it. I feel it. Finally, hear gratefully and prayerfully. Give thanks always and in prayer for the precious seed of the Word of God. I read about people in persecuted nations. I believe it was in North Korea or China. I can't remember specifically which nation it was. But the idea was this. They obviously couldn't have Bibles in hand, but the people that were imprisoned, the people that were being persecuted, they would, before they were taken away, rip pages out of their Bibles and stuff them in their pockets so that when they got in their prison area or when they were alone, they could pull out these pages of God's Word and somehow retain and let it impact them. Why do I share that with you? I share that with you to say this. For us, who have beautiful leather-bound Bibles, who can come and worship freely and hear the Word of God. We should hear gratefully. We should hear thankfully and prayerfully. We should be thankful that we are in a church whose elders say, it is our priority to say, thus says the Lord, from the Bible. It's rare, loved ones. There are other beautiful churches in the city. Don't get me wrong. There are other gospel preaching churches in the area. Don't get me wrong. But it's rare. There's a famine in the land. And it is rare to have a preacher come to you like this and say, look at verse 1. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 3. This is what God has to say to you. Listen and hear thankfully and prayerfully. God, thank you that the Word is being preached to me. Not perfectly, because this is an imperfect messenger, but Lord, your Word is being taught to me. I'm so thankful. Loved ones, the exhortation from this first parable, be careful how you hear. What if we become a church that hears in such a way as to keep the Word and hold it fast? I pray that that's the kind of church we are. Why don't you stand to your feet right now? I'm gonna pray for us. We're gonna end off in worshiping our Jesus, our Savior. If you want to hear rightly, do something to respond to God. I'm not pressuring you to do anything, but maybe if you're comfortable, just lift up your hands like this, just to say, Lord, I'm here, I wanna hear. I want to hear. I want to have ears to hear. Maybe you want to lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to Jesus. Maybe you want to bow your head. Whatever you want to do, express yourself to Him. Say, Lord, help me to be a faithful hearer of your Word. God, I pray that in this church you would cause us to be faithful hearers of your Word. And that as week after week we gather this way, we would hear, we would keep your Word with honest and good hearts and with patience and endurance, we would bear fruit. Oh God, let it be that we would be a church bearing fruit. Now we look to you, Jesus. We fix our eyes on you as we sing. Receive our worship now in Jesus' name.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.